those goodnesses to us. Another day of life. Yes. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. I started thinking of a thought this morning, and this thought came to my mind, and I'd mention it from time to time, maybe one or two times a year. So as I put this together this afternoon, it maybe not be a very long message, but it's about being ready. So a word of prayer. And Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We're thankful for salvation, Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful for the light of the gospel. Lord, we're thankful as we spoke the other week about the Spirit of God, how the Spirit of God can direct us, can teach us, can guide us. Lord, the Spirit of God can help us to know that we have an assurance through Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that not every day we wake up and we're on top of the mountain, and every day we feel saved and sanctified and ready to go on. But, dear Lord, through faith, dear Heavenly Father, we know that we can be pleasing to you. Our soul can be well, and we're thankful for that, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, you see some of the thoughts that we have here this evening as we sang the song and some testimonies have gone forward, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as Sister Ann testified about the gentleman from many years ago, and Lord, it's a very true statement. It's one thing to get ready. But Lord, it's extremely important to continue to stay ready. Jesus said that we need to finish the course, the Heavenly Father. He that endureth until the end, not just for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, but until the end. And Jesus said one time, when I come, shall I find faith? So Lord, help us, the Heavenly Father. Lord, we can have a good start. We can have a good run. But the Heavenly Father, it's needful that we finish the course with faith, the Heavenly Father, to be able to receive our reward. So Lord, we're thankful that we have that promise. We're thankful that we have a promise of strength that we can finish, dear Lord. It isn't of our own strength necessarily, but dear Lord, you promise to give us the grace, the strength to continue to fight the enemy and be victorious, and we'll thank you for that. Go with us tonight, anoint the word, anoint me that I'll bring it as you would have us to, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, and picking up in verse 30, I had written down 35, and when I went back over my message, I wanted to go to 36, and then I wrote down 34. I'm like, I'm confused now. So we're going to start at Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This is Jesus speaking here. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. I want us tonight to, as I mentioned from time to time, I bring thoughts about he's coming back. Jesus has let us know that he's coming back, and we're reading in some of these scriptures here, he's coming back again. And we need to be aware. Brother Burt was mentioning many things there and thoughts in my message. We need to be aware. We need to be vigilant. We need to be ready. Today. Not next week, not in revival time or next camp meeting or whatever. We need to be ready. Not to have our business undone in any way, shape, or form as far as spiritual things. We need to be ready today, right now. There's not a one of us in this room that doesn't understand or probably has entertained the thought of procrastination. And every one of us has probably done that. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I have time. I know Sister Carol can probably smile because she knows me a little bit too and says, I'm bad with that. But I don't really want to say that because I have 100 things to do and I put all them in their little place, and whatever I have to do next week, I don't worry about that until that time comes up. I mean, I do procrastinate, but I do have things planned out in my mind.
And all of us understand, have experienced that time to where maybe something we forgot about or let go too long or something came up and now we have to attend to that right now. I mean, it's needful. I mean, we need to let everything aside and we need to attend to this thing right now. There's no time to waste for it. I remember when me and my friends and all, my best friend and his wife and me and my wife were going on vacation together, and we were flying to Florida. And thank the Lord we were leaving a day early, but we were flying to Florida, and I'm at work. I guess it was Thursday, I guess, because we were leaving Friday. I'm at work, and she calls me, and she says, our flight has been canceled. It was a beautiful day, just like today. I said, why? Well, we didn't know there was massive storms up north in Boston and all that. Well, when you have storms like that somewhere in the country, it affects the entire country. So there was a panic of everything had to stop, and we needed to attend to things right now. Thankfully, we got things worked out. The airlines got things worked out. We got things worked out. But we know that. We know that. We know procrastination time. Sometimes we understand and we know that I'm right at a deadline. I got to attend to this right now. But when Christ comes, there is not a second, a split second, a millisecond for us to get ready. Never. Nothing. He says there, as in the days of Noah there, and I will talk about there as we go on. No one, he lets us know, no one knows the day or the hour of the Son of Man. It amazes me that some years ago, and I was looking up a little bit of things on my phone about the message tonight, and they brought up about that man Harold Campion a couple years back that predicted the day and the time, and it was all over the news. It was broadcast everywhere. And that time came and went, and nothing happened. And what a disaster it made. And I believe he's already passed on. He's gone. And he'll stand before God with what lies and things he's given to people. But he'll stand before God with that. But God said, Jesus, this is Jesus saying here, he goes, no man knoweth the day or the hour. Not even there. He goes, we'll read that again. For the days and the hour, verse 36. But that of no man know the day or the hour, knoweth no man, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Reserved to God. None of us know. We can look at the times, we can look at the seasons, we can look at how wicked the life is, and we go back to Noah and look at that time, but we don't know of any time or hour of when Christ is coming. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back to this scripture. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, picking up in verse 10, he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? And all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But he goes through there and he talks about in verse 10 is what I want to make my main thought out of this, these scriptures here. He goes there, he says the latter part there, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Not a one of us are looking for anyone to break into our house tonight. Never. But it's coming unaware, unprepared, while we're sleeping, and if you've ever been woken in the middle of the night by a phone call or any noise or whatever, you're disoriented. You're not prepared. You don't wake up and say, somebody's breaking in my house. I'm ready to do it. You're not prepared. And he says, as a thief in the night cometh the Lord, and there shall be a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. This and this world will end when he comes. There are teachings out there of a millennial that Christ is going to come, that he's going to bind up the enemy of the soul for 1,000 years, and Christ is going to reign. I'm thinking to myself, he has all power. In one sense, the enemy is already reigning to a certain point, but when God comes out to an end, that's an end. There's teaching of a rapture. Some will be taken. So I think it's interesting. I see bumpers there, because I haven't seen any for a long while. If the rapture comes, this car will be unmanned. I know he's joking with Sister Jerry. Sister Jerry's probably hoping whoever's flying her plane isn't ready to go and it's a plane unmanned. That's not going to be a fact. There's no millennial. There's no rapture. I believe some of them get that from verse 40 and 41 that we read back there, you know, where one will be taken and the other be left. He's just meaning time. Life will be going on just like it is, has been. He's not coming to set up a kingdom in this world. Thank God for that. He's not going to go back to Jerusalem, set up Jerusalem, and restore Jerusalem like it was. Thank God for that. He's coming back, as we spoke of this morning a little bit, he's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for his bride, those that he has saved, and he's going to take them to heaven and this world and the rest, those that are saved, sanctified, looking, aware, preparing, staying ready for Christ's second coming. Those are the ones he'll take into the kingdom of God, but all the rest will be cast into a place of hell, of damnation, that aren't ready and prepared.
And this world will be destroyed. Back over in verse 10 here, in 2 Peter, he says, "And the earth and the works and there shall be burned up." I want to go back to Matthew now. Let's go back to Matthew 24 where we were. And picking up in verse 37 there and 38, and looking at that again. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days of Noah were, before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the days of Noah entered into the ark." Life was going on just like it is today. People were getting married, people were eating, people were drinking, people were just enjoying life, and he goes on through there. They're just living life. Tomorrow morning, clocks are going to be set. People are going to get up to go to work, to do whatever duties they have to do. Life is going to go on just like it has always been going on, just as it did in the days of Noah, until the floods came. And we know that when God had Noah to build that ark, and Noah and his family got on the ark, and the Bible lets us know that God shut the door. And when God shut the door, it was sealed. And we don't know and understand, I don't believe God's going to come to a place and time and say, okay, I understand no one's getting saved, I'm going to stop time. I believe that when that time, when God recognizes that no one will get saved, that's why when I said back here, read to you earlier, or quoted here, and Jesus said to him during that time, "When I come again, shall I find faith?" Faith is more, less and less and less every year, it seems like. Believing in the things of God. And as God shut the doors in Noah, And the ark there, and God shut that, and he says, "And the floods came, and were eating, drinking, and marrying." And verse 39, and it says, "And they knew it not." You know why? Noah had been preaching a long time. Noah had been around preaching, telling them. And not only was he preaching, but he was building a structure that was unknown. And it wasn't no little structure. It wasn't the size of this altar. It was the size of two of these blocks, at least. Everybody knew it. And he preached to them, and he told them, "The Lord told me that it's going to rain, and it had never rained before." And they're talking about, what are you talking about? And not only is it going to rain, but it's going to flood the earth, and everybody is going to die. Animals, civilization, plants, trees, everything will be destroyed. That's not going to happen, Noah. It hadn't happened in the last 100 years. It hadn't happened in the last 100 years since you've been built. It's not going to happen. But when it happened instantly. I've always used this, the thought in there. I can't believe, or not believe, there weren't people within visual sight of that ark and maybe standing around talking, and a drop of water hit them on the shoulder. Instantly, they knew it was too late. And they may have ran to try to climb on the ark and beat on the door to get in, but it was too late. The door was shut. But life was going on. And Noah had preached over 120 years. And it says there in verse 39, "And they knew it not." and the saints just continued, or the people just continued to live life. I was thinking, I didn't have the song planned to look at tonight, but as I was reading, as I was singing this song, and I singing the chorus, and I thought, Lord, help us. This chorus says, I want to be ready. I thought, Lord, I didn't write the song, and I understand songs are written certain ways, but I said, Lord, I need to make sure I'm ready. I need to make sure I'm ready today. I need to stay ready. I need to stay diligent. I need to stay awake. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. Oh, I want to be more like him and do his blessed will, command, for I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land. You know, in one sense, and I know as saints, we sing that song, and we raise our hands and say, thank God. But there's a lot of people, that's their life song. I want to be. I want to go to church one day. I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven. I want to make prepared. Well, to do that, you have to do it. You have to do, as the rest of that song says, to be able, you need to be following his commands. You need to be ready. You need to be stay diligent in those things if you have a desire to meet God. I've often asked you this sometimes. I don't know if any of us will be here when he comes back again. We seem to be living in a time where I think about it a lot. I'm in the store sometimes. I go to the grocery store and waiting for somebody to serve me for lunch meat. And I just stand up against the pole and I look at people. I wonder if one of them in this little section even has a remote thought of their eternal soul. Not today, but last week, next month, has ever. Has been. I wonder. How many people are ready? How many people have become ready? And we, even us, you know, are we ready? And I trust that we're ready, and I thank God that we can be ready. But we need to stay ready. The day or the hour, whether we'll be here or not, whether we'll live out of time, and I as I look around, and sometimes I think about how time is, and I think, you know, there are still, thank God, there are still a lot of good people in the world. I know we see the terrible things on the news and here, but there are still a lot of good people. I'm not saying they're saved, but there are good moral people. When something were to happen out there on a road or whatever, people can come to them and cater to them and help them. And they don't just say, I'm not worried about you. Not like the Good Samaritan pass on the other side. People help. In all kinds of avenues, and the doctors and the nurses and all those things, and even the military, there are some good people in the world. So when will the Lord come there? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible lets us know that the sea and the death and hell gave up, delivered up their dead. Every single soul is going to stand before God. From the very time of Adam and Eve, all the way down to the very time of when Christ comes again, to the individual that is old enough to come to the age of accountability. Every single soul will stand before God and will give an account of what they've done. Give an account for mainly of what they heard, and have they ever been prepared or get ready. Or what is greater and sadder than my thought in my mind, those that at one time have been saved, have been sanctified, have been traveling this course, and they lost it. They gave up. They went back out into the world. For those people, it'd be great.
Because at one time they were aware, I need to be ready, I need to stay ready. I don't have it in my message, but that Jesus talked about the parable of the 5 or 10 virgins, and those 5 virgins that were not diligent, not staying up to date, didn't keep oil in their lamp, didn't bring it, they lost out. And when they went to get ready, they went to get prepared. And how many people today do the same thing? I'm going to get ready next week. I'm going to get ready next month. One day I'm going to get ready, and never do. And the bridegroom comes, but it's too late. Everyone shall be judged, whether they were small or great. Every single person that we know, that has been famous in the world, that has made comments, that has been in history, they'll be there. And I don't know if any of them, when we're here, I don't know if any of them that they will stand before Christ when he comes. But missing the word there in my notes, but all will make this appointment. None of them will get out. I can't imagine the judgment bar. And I heard somebody say one time, they said, it takes too long for a judgment. Well, once eternity starts, there is no time. And in my mind, and one of the things I think about, I've had people think about sometimes, well, they try to, we might talk about it here a little bit later, but try to people get to figure out when Christ comes, this is going to happen, that's how it's going to happen, this is going to, let me tell you what, we don't need to worry what will happen and the order to happen. The dead will be called, the ones that come out of the sea will be called, they will be called. We just need to be ready. I've heard ministers argue the fact of this is what's going to happen when Christ comes, and this witness, this is the state. It doesn't matter. We need to be ready. We need to make sure things are ready. We're looking for Christ to come in again. All those other little details, I don't know if we could even ever figure them out and know some of the things of God. But every single soul will make that appointment. But one thing I know of, he's coming again. I'm assured of that the Word of God teaches us that. And are we ready? Now I know that I mentioned a little bit earlier here in my message. I believe. And some of you that have been here when Brother Davis was here, I can remember him when I first got saved. And he used to talk about when he first came here to be pastor, which was in 1964, he first came to be pastor. I wasn't even born yet when he came here. And I don't know, as time went on, I think his youngest son wasn't born either, Billy. And as time went on and somebody came by trying to sell him in some insurance policies, maybe for college or whatever. And he told the man, he goes, boy, he says, my kids ain't going to, he says, we're going to be gone by then. And I can remember when I first got saved, and I got saved in 82, and I can remember going to camp meeting. We left camp meeting, shaking each other's hands, said, brother, I don't know if we'll see you next year at camp meeting, because we felt the Lord was coming. But that doesn't mean he ain't coming. Just because 20 years, 30 years, 50 years has gone by, that doesn't mean he isn't coming. Jesus tells us over and over and over and over that people will be caught spiritually naked. Ever seen anybody physically naked and get caught? Somehow the door get open and they're in shock and hide themselves and jump behind a door or whatever. Ever seen anybody do that? Well, that's the exact same way when Christ comes. They'll be caught unaware. They'll be fully aware that they are not ready at that very moment. I say, Lord, help us. From time to time, and there was something that I'm not going to give you some more details of what this message brought to me. Maybe I'll do this and some months later. But I can give it to you. I said, Lord, you know, I bring a message like this that we need to be ready. We need to be awakened. But I thought, Lord, how many times, and maybe from 1 or 2 times a year, I need to bring a real short message like this, and we need to just get together and pray. Amen. Just pray, Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to get ready. Jesus, as I said there, Jesus tells us over and over and over and over that people will be caught unaware. The Bible is full of warnings that when he comes back, people will not be ready for Christ to come. And I'm not necessarily talking about the world. We know the world, but some saints, because they have been procrastinating and keeping their salvation up to date.
Unaware. Not ready. Careless. You know, there are people that are careless with their jobs. You know, nowadays it's terrible the way jobs are, but in the earlier years, you couldn't be careless with your job too much. Actually, one or two times, and you were probably called on the carpet. Maybe a third time, you were let go or penalized somehow. Careless. People are careless today. Just careless. As we've talked about, the 10 virgins slumber. The Bible lets us know in that story of the 10 virgins, Jesus says there, they all. That's an awakening to me. It didn't say those five that didn't take the oil with them. It says they all slumbered and slept. They all sometimes got a little careless. They all got not being diligent in what they should have been, but they were awakened. Hey, I need to get back. I trust it from time to time. I believe each one of the saints from time to time, we felt that way. Maybe get too busy in doing things. Maybe get involved in doing things. And the Lord tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, you need to come back a little bit. You need to get back in your prayer life. You need to get back in your Bible. You need to spend a little more diligent time in the things of God. Making plans to get ready. But there will be a day, it'll be too late. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. You could probably read the whole chapter of Matthew 24. There's a lot of thoughts that Jesus gives in here. But we're going to jump down to verse 42. And again, this whole chapter is Jesus speaking in verse 42. Watch therefore. Again, another warning, watch. And I'm just bringing this. I'm not saying that anybody isn't. It's just a warning to each and every one of us from time to time, be ready. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour the Lord doth come. He said that earlier up there in verse 36. He's saying again here in verse 42. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which hour in which the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. So as we read that, there's a couple little words there. As I read that this afternoon, that sort of struck my mind. There's a couple little words there. Read it again. We'll read it again. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. What's that mean? You're not even considering that God's coming today. That God could come this week. That God could come anytime in the next week or a month or so. That's not even a thought in your mind. I'm not saying that's sin, and I don't think Jesus says it's sin, but we need to be prepared. He says, be ready. He says, in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Over and over, Jesus tells us to watch. For you don't know the hour. Verse 43, we'll break that down again. But know this, that the good man of the house had not known in which hour the thief come in. So there again, we've already talked about that a little bit. We don't want to go too much in there. But if somebody, how many of you ever been out or in your home and the helicopter's flying over top? But how many times have you been in there and the helicopter's flying? Next thing you know, the police are riding down your road. Next thing you know, the police are getting out of the car and walking through the neighborhood. What do? Just lock up. Something's happening. We need to watch. And Jesus says, be prepared. Be ready. Get prepared. Verse 44, he goes on. We talked about that already. I mentioned that. The hour that you think not. I don't believe that as saints we really go around worried. The Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord. Hey, God doesn't want us to do that. That's not a part of what that watchful means. That doesn't mean that at all. But keeping your salvation up to date.
Right.
And I thank God, as we talked again this morning, last week, we talked about the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the job of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And he's not bold, he's not loud, he's not forceful, but from time to time, and I believe every one of us is saying, time to time, the Spirit has said, hey, you need to make sure things are well with you. Just get back where you need to be. But I don't believe we go around being worried that the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming all the time. But when is the last time you've had a checklist for yourself? For number one, is my lamp lit? You know those 10 virgins again. All 10 of them, their lamps were lit. Is my lamps lit? You know, our lamps might be lit, but is my oil low? A lot of us deal with gas. Maybe you cut grass or use gas or whatever. You have a gas can. I know we cut grass and things, and especially at the beginning of the summer, you haven't cut grass all winter. And you go out there to cut grass. You open up the gas can to see if there's any gas in there, unless you've done drained it all. And the next thing you know, you walk over there and you pick up that can and it jerks real quick and there's no gas in it. But if it does, it's a little bit of gas. The same thing with salvation. Where our lamps are lit, thank God my lamps are lit, I'm walking in the light of the gospel. But do we have oil? Doing a checklist, is my oil up to date? When's the last time, and I've mentioned this many times, when's the last time, Lord, I need to spend time in prayer to get my oil filled? Being in the services of God, being in the Word of God, being in revival, that's time, Lord, help me to fill my oil lamp. Help me to get ready. During revival is a good time, I know for me, and in camp meeting and other revivals I go to, it's a time for the Word to check me. To look at me. I think we were saying something, somebody was mentioning something this morning about it's a joy to be in the services. And I thought as whoever was testifying about that, and I thought, you know, I have a lot of good times back there because I'm in services a lot with the Lord putting a message together. See, I have to go through that and read that and study that and look at things, and God gives me thoughts. That's joyful to me. But we have to keep our up-to-date list going with the things of God. We just can't slumber. We just can't let things lack. Because you know what makes us do that? He hasn't came in the last 10 years, the last 20 years, the last 50 years. I don't know when he's going to come. Things are bad right now. And I said a little bit earlier, there's good people. But things, and I even think about even recently, of all the things that are going on with the sexual things that are going on, transgender. You know, that's been going on before. That's gone on centuries ago, and they did that stuff before, and made monuments and stones of all these things happen. It's the same thing. God's mercy. Where are we at? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Sometimes verses like that, we need to just take home and sit and read and allow the Spirit of God help us. Teaching us that living, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. If we're doing these things in 12, thank the Lord, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God I can look forward to that one day. The Bible says that when he comes again, there shall be great wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because there is no procrastination. There is not going to be a split second for me to pray and ask God. There is no more mercy at that time. It's over. Mercy will be shut. The door will be shut. And everyone that realizes when the Christ comes, they will realize there is nothing that they can do. But I thank God as saints. And as he said, if we've been doing verse 12, we've been living denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Thank God, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope.
I kind of laughed a little bit and myself and Brother Bert said, you know, I'm not worried about dying, but I don't want to go today. I remember one time some people come to my house. It was Jehovah's Witness that came to my house. And I was home and that was when I was living down in Debke, down in apartments. And for whatever reason, that day, it was a day I had nothing to do and time to kill. And I went out there and started to talk to him, and it was winter time, and all I had on was a short sleeve shirt. I didn't have a jacket on. And I'm out there, I'm outside talking to him, and they were young. The people were young. They weren't ingrained into this real deep. And we were talking, and they were cordial. We were cordial with one another. And I remember one of the questions. They said, "Well, but nobody's afraid to die, but they don't want to go to heaven." I said, "I'm ready to go right now. How about you? If the Lord wants to come right now, let's go." And they could tell I was cold. I said, "Let me grab a jacket." When I went in, they called for the older ones that were over there to come over, and they ran over and talked to them. By the time I come back out, they had called them away. They said, come on, we're not going to talk to him anymore.
But he says here in verse 13, looking for the blessed hope. I'm looking for Christ.
Amen.
I'm longing for him one day. The Bible says that day there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to be the day when Jesus comes. I want to be interested in the sense to where... like they did when Jesus came into Jerusalem. When Jesus came into Jerusalem before they crucified him, they were given glory and praise and honor and shouts and hallelujah. That's the way I want to be, by the grace of God. I want to be welcoming him when he comes. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know if I'll be in the grave, maybe 1,000 years, I don't know. But the Bible says I'll be called up out of that grave. The rivers and the waters will be called up out of the grave. Hell and death will be called for that great awakening one day. I want to be ready.
Amen.
If we're not here when Christ comes, remember to use some amazing to say, he says, when he comes for each and every one of us individually, and that will come one day, and we don't know that day or hour. Brother Hirsch will tell you all the time, that time he had a heart attack, it was the mercy of God that spared his life. And I don't know if he had any time or any thought. I've heard people have heart attacks. There's no thought to get down and pray. I've been sick sometimes, and I've been in the hospital tonight, and I remember when I was going in surgery for something. I forget what it was. I think my appendix, and I was having my appendix out, and they rolled me down the hall, and he sat me there. He said, "We'll be right back." And he went over to do something. I was by myself for about a minute or two. And I remember praying. I said, "Lord," I said, "it's in your hands." I don't know what else to say. Thank God we can have that assurance. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready right now? And I know we can say yes, or I know we can say, "I want to be. I want to be ready when he comes." But Lord, help us as the days go through. I want to make sure things are well with my soul. May the Lord bless you as our soul.
Let's turn to page 165. 165. Thank you. Within my